And I think it's really what's maintained my life for 40 years almost is the Word of God. If I would not have had the Word of God, I would not be in this pulpit today. Because of the trials and temptations that I've gone through in my life, what sustained me was the Word of God. I believed in God's Word. And the Word of God kept me. And is keeping me every day.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Raul Reese in Diamond Bar, California. Raul has walked with the Lord for 47 years now and experienced the transformation that comes from studying God's Word. To discover how Raul first came to Christ and what a difference the Bible has made in his life, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com. Or for a free DVD, call 800-634-9165. As Christians living in an extremely fast-paced society, you may know that reading the Bible is important, but you don't always put devotion time at the top of your to-do list. Well, today we'll learn that without a solid knowledge of the Word of God, our struggle to withstand temptation, endure suffering, and bear spiritual fruit will be seriously hampered. Here's Raul Reese now in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 2.
I love this chapter. I love this book. And the reason is because of what we've been conversing about. Because can you imagine how Peter must have felt and the other apostles when Rome came into power? And the first thing that Rome did is they began to persecute and to prosecute and to kill Christians. And it's really important that Christianity has always been affected by other world religions when they're being threatened. And I really feel like today the Lord is doing a tremendous work in America. He's doing a tremendous work here at Calvary Chapel. And at the same time, the young people that are getting saved, and we're seeing so many young people getting saved, and they're going to be the next generation to come. As they learn God's word, as they make a stand as Christians and believers, then God's going to honor what they do. And at the same time, we need to know God intimately, like never before. Because Peter here in chapter 4, beginning with verse 1, as we dealt last week, let's just read it. We already dealt with that, and we'll pick up in verse 2. But let's go to verse 1. Peter here says, "Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also in the same mind or in the same attitude. For he who has suffered in the flesh has stopped sinning." Now remember last week I told you that even as Christ was blamed, arrested, prosecuted, and then killed, that in the same way as he had to be mocked, he had to be spit upon, he had to be beaten, 39 stripes on his back, and then put nails through his hands, nails through his feet, a crown of thorns on his head. And then finally, when he gave the last seven words on the cross, when he said, "It is finished," and he said, "Father, this is it. Spirit, you can now depart." And when the Spirit departed from the body of Jesus Christ, all of a sudden, the end had come. Hell was blown away by that. Because at that particular point in time when Jesus died on the cross, in the same way after his death, 3 days later, what happened? He resurrected. And then for 40 days, he went out back to the Galilee. He met his disciples, instructed them, and then gave them the blessing of going out and waiting 10 days later, after 40 days, on the 50th day, on the day of Pentecost, to be baptized with power with the Holy Spirit, 120 of them, including Mary, the mother of Jesus. That's the last time you see Mary in the Bible. And then you know what happens? When they receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, 120. It wasn't even a week later. The same time, 3,000 people accepted Christ and were baptized with the Holy Spirit. The first altar call that Peter ever had was 3,000 people that got saved. And you can read the rest of the book of Acts, man. There were so many people getting saved. As we see today, what's happening? We need the power of the Holy Spirit in the church today like never before. Because the power of the Holy Spirit is what will give you the power to overcome sin. And that's what he's talking about here. You stop sinning. It doesn't mean sinless perfection, which means there's a doctrine that people believe in that once you become a Christian, you never sin again. That's not true. You and I know that we sin. We fall short every day. I mean, we get angry when we drive on the streets or the freeways. And I mean, how many times you lie? You're at work and you're taking stuff from your employers. That's stealing. Cheating on your time cards. Putting such hours that are not really the hours you're working. I mean, we got to be honest when we look at the Word of God, because either the Bible is real and we're real, or we're phonies and we can't really trust the Bible. God's Word is perfect. It's complete. And we have to live by the example that the Word of God has given to us. And who's the greatest example? He says, Jesus. Just like he died. Suffered is the wrong word there. He died on the cross. For you and for me. So he says what? Put on the same mentality or have the same attitude. Don't be afraid of Rome. Don't be afraid of government. Stand for truth. And God will be your defense. What can they do to you? Kill you? You're in the presence of the Lord. Seriously. Oh yeah, they can imprison you. They can make it tough for you. They can prosecute you, persecute you, and they can even do things to you to torment you in the physical body. But once you die, you're in the presence of the Lord. And what Peter is going to tell us, if anything ever happens like that, he says when you get to that place, if they're going to torture you, God will give you the grace and the peace to endure it and to be in the presence of God. I love that. He will give you. Remember all of the Christians in the past? They were burned on the stake and they were killed. God gave them the grace to have over the pain, to be what? To be martyrs, to stand for truth. And the ones that were chickens, they denied the Lord. They denied the Lord. We got to stand on God's word. We got to stand on truth. And that's why Peter here is talking about this great suffering that's going on. Look at verse 2 now, because we're going to study that now. Observation number 2 here is that we need to make a choice. And Peter gets here into the heart of the teaching from verse 2 through verse 6. It's the heart of the teaching on suffering. Because this is the focus now, how we should live to be in God's perfect will. From verses 2 to 6. If you really want to be in God's perfect will, then Peter says, then do what I tell you. What I'm writing to you today. Because the result of this will be that you will know that you will stop sinning against God. You will want to do what's right. You will want to be dominated by the Holy Spirit. You will want God to give you a hunger to get up in the morning and read the Word of God and spend time in prayer and throughout the day witness to people, not by preaching to them, but by your life, by what you do, what's right. That's how they'll know you're Christians. Because doing the will of God must begin with putting what? Off the old man. Walking in the flesh, but now walking in the newness of life by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what the Bible teaches. Very important. So watch this. Verse 2. He says that he no longer, who's that? Christians. That Christians no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. There it is right there. We should be living for the will of God, not for our will. God's perfect will is the best. And first will is what? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. I don't want God's permissive will. I want his perfect will in my life. No matter what it's going to cost me. I don't want to lie to people. I want to speak truth to people. I want to give them what God says in his word. And if you want to be such a person, then you're going to have to really spend time with the Lord. And spending time with the Lord means denying of yourself. And taking up your cross and following Jesus Christ. And denying when your friends come to you or anybody comes to you and they want to make you trip and fall and go into a life of sin. That's a done deal. You should not do that. You should start preparing for heaven. No matter how old you are or how young you are. The days are going to get darker. The Bible tells us that. They're not going to get brighter, darker. And right now, one of the greatest things that is going on in the 21st century is that I've been a Christian now for almost 40 years. And I'm even halfway, I'm three quarters of my life already done. It's all borrowed time now. And one day you'll hear that I have gone to be with the Lord. But my concern is not being with the Lord. My concern is that we leave enough disciples behind to carry the baton and stand for what's right. Think of all the men of God that already have passed away, like Dr. Van Cleve, Dr. Orr, men of history. And you talk about Alan Redpath. He went to be with the Lord too from England. I knew all these men. I've been with Billy Graham. I got to meet him at the Marriott Hotel in 1990 in his hotel in his pajamas. He opened the door when I was there with Franklin. It was funny, man. He looked out to Central Park in New York City. He was going to do a crusade. He said, "Raul, do you think that people will come?" I almost choked. I said, "Billy, you've been doing crusades all your life. You don't think people are going to come?" That's how much he had his confidence in God. He says, "Can you pray?" So Franklin and I prayed. 90,000 people showed up at Central Park. Think about that. Alan Redpath, an incredible expositor of God's word. If you don't have his books, get his books. We got to be in his home, Great Glory, myself and my brother in England many years ago. And then he came to America and he began to teach in the Calvaries. Dr. Orr used to be a guest speaker for me in West Covina, where now he's gone. One of the great men in history in revival, wrote tremendous books. It's incredible when you think of the people behind. And then as I look at the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and I look at the young men of today and the old men of today and women, they have been sitting under the Calvary Chapel movement and listening to God's word that you are the next generation and generations to come in the Lord to pass on the word of God. Not to entertain people. Not to preach topical studies, but to teach the word of God line upon line, precept upon precept. Verse by verse through the whole Bible. This is what Peter had in his heart. Paul the apostle, James, John, all of them. And I think it's really what's maintained my life for 40 years almost is the word of God. If I would not have had the word of God, I would not be in this pulpit today. Because of the trials and temptations that I've gone through in my life, what sustained me was the word of God. I believed in God's word. And the word of God kept me and is keeping me every day. It's really important that we understand what Peter is saying here. Peter in verse 2 through 6, now he's telling us that we need to make a choice. Do you want to walk in the flesh or do you want to walk in the spirit? Do you want to sit on the shelf or do you want God to use your life? You got to make the choice. God already made the choice. What do you mean? He sent Jesus Christ. He fulfilled his will by dying on the cross and resurrecting and then sending the Holy Spirit. So we need to make up our minds. What do we need to do? We need holiness of life. Holiness. And I'm not talking about people that are perfect. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people that will humble themselves before the cross of Jesus Christ and they'll ask God to give them a hunger and a thirst for the Word of God and a hunger and a thirst and a burden for souls. Wherever you play, wherever you work, wherever you go, that you always are open to let people know who Jesus Christ is. Because you're going to need Christ. When Paul the Apostle was writing to the Galatians, they were very legalistic. And Paul the Apostle writes about the freedoms that we have in Jesus Christ. And you have to remember, if you're a new Christian, remember this. Every one of the books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts, and all the way from Corinth, all the way from the book of Romans and the 14 letters of Paul, and then you come to James, one book, and then 1st, 2nd Peter, and then 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, and then the book of Revelation. The 14 letters of Paul, plus the general epistles, James and Peter and John and Jude, are all written to who? To Christians. To Christians. The whole Bible is written to Christians. The Old Testament was written to Israel. How Israel needed to behave, how they needed to have God in their lives, how they needed to be light and salt so they could evangelize all of the nations of the world. And they failed. Read the stories. And this is why Jesus Christ came, because Israel failed and God is not through with Israel. God is going to save Israel in the future. It's going to be incredible. But right now, for the last 1900 years, the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has been the one that he's using to what? To evangelize, because God has poured out his Holy Spirit upon the Gentile nations. That's why Israel is the only nation, the only ethnic group of people that have survived for thousands of years. There are no Babylonians. There are no Medes and Persians. There are no real, what? Alexander the Great with the Grecians, okay, and then the Romans. But think about how Israel has survived everything. And they're a little country, and they're getting pushed into the sea all the time. And yet in every war they've had in Israel, God has been behind and helped them. One tank commander in the 67 war knocked out 1,000 Syrian tanks by himself. How do you do that? Without God being behind it. Think about it. In the Golan Heights. Incredible history when you read it. The same miracles he did in the Old Testament, he's done them in the New Testament for Israel. And yet Israel doesn't believe in God. When you go there, if you go with us again, you'll see. Incredible place to go and learn the Bible. Because that's what we do. We'll go to every place where there were always Jesus walked by and all the places where the New Testament is and the Old Testament, and we'll give you Bible studies, we'll give you history, we'll give you geography, we'll give you all that. And in 12 days, you will have gone to seminary and you'll blow your mind when you come back and you start reading your Bible and you go, wow, I cannot believe it. I've been there. And the Bible will become alive. It's a time of investment to go to Israel. If you really want the Bible to stand out, you'll blow your mind. God's Word. And Peter writing here, he takes us to Galatians 5. He says, remember what Paul said? Listen to what he said. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. Why? For the flesh is lusting against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But If you are led by the Holy Spirit, then you're not under the law. Notice that. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are what? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery. That word means drugs. Pharmakia in the Greek. Any kind of a drug that gets you high is pharmakia. Notice what he says. Hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissension, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, rivalries, which means wild parties, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as also I told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Will not. Now the reason I say this is not, I don't want to be offensive in any way, but there are Christians in churches, not only Calvary Chapel, in churches that accept the Lord and they still get drunk. And they still take drugs. And they still have wrath and they still have jealousies and they have all these things. And the Bible says that we need to work in our lives trying to get rid of those things out by reckoning the old man to be dead. Read Romans chapter 5 through 8. He says, because if a person, let's say you're drinking, you say you call yourself a Christian, you've had an experience with God, and you're drinking, you're getting drunk, and something happens. Like we had years ago, a guy that was got saved, walked with the Lord, he went back to drugs. He was at a McDonald's stand inside of the bathroom, left his little one-year-old outside. He went to the bathroom. And then all of a sudden, the people in the McDonald's noticed that it had been 30 minutes and the little kid was crying. Daddy, he didn't come out of the bathroom. They went in the bathroom. They found him sitting in the toilet, wrapped with a syringe, and he was shooting up and he died. What happens to people like that? The Bible says they will not inherit the kingdom of God. Paul says it. He's talking to Christians. He's not talking to non-believers. He's talking to Christians. He says, you used to be like this. You used to walk in the flesh, but now you're dominated by the Holy Spirit of God.
You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Roel Reese. If you'd like to review today's message, we'll be glad to send you an unedited copy for a donation of any amount. Just call 800-634-9165 and ask for the latest message from Roel's series in 1 Peter. Now, to further support you in your spiritual journey, we'd like to offer you a practical audio resource titled Walking in the Flesh. As you meditate on God's desire for you to live in abundance and victory, this four-lesson series provides biblical instruction into how you can avoid common spiritual pitfalls as you learn to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Discover the path to true joy in the Lord as you choose to remove any obstacles that are hindering in your fellowship with Him. Get in touch with us to purchase Rolf's Bible-based audio pack titled Walking in the Flesh. We'll send you this 4-CD collection for a gift of just $19 or more. To order, just go to SomebodyLovesYou.com or call us at 800-634-9165. If you'd like to order this resource by sending a check, our mailing address is Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. As a partner in this ministry, we invite you to follow us on Instagram. We'd like to give you an insider's look at the work God is doing through Somebody Loves You Radio. Start following us today for behind-the-scenes photos and video clips that will encourage your heart with reminders of God's power and love. Don't forget that Somebody Loves You Radio is funded through the generosity of listeners like you, and every gift you give is tax-deductible. Be sure and join us again next time on Somebody Loves You Radio as Roel Reese continues with our verse-by-verse study of 1 Peter. You'll be encouraged to more fully surrender your life to the Lord, making the conscious choice to trust Him as He stretches, guides, and transforms you. Here's Roel now with a final word from today's message.
There has to be a transformation. Otherwise, how is the world going to really know that we are Christians and we live just like them? There's no change. Then we become hypocrites. And this is why we need to understand that God is a real person and that God transforms and changes people's lives. What's so beautiful is the way God took our lives and He cleansed us and washed us and doesn't hold us guilty anymore for what we did in the past. You see? But we live in the present. That's right. And in the present, are you living in the flesh or are you living in the spirit? How are you walking? Because walking is fellowship with God. Are you in fellowship with the world or are you in fellowship with Jesus Christ? By the way, the Holy Spirit is what? The one that convicts us. So if you're a real Christian, you can't live a life of sin. You can't. The Holy Spirit won't let you do that.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.